Welcome to Pieces for My Puzzle. I'm your host, Nikki Shipp, and I'm excited to be sharing with you my life with a son on the spectrum. This podcast is for anyone who is looking for quick tips and perspective, but most of all, for hope and inspiration. So sit back, relax, and let's put the pieces together. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pieces for My Puzzle. I'm your host, Nikki Shipp. Thank you so much for joining us today. Last week, we talked about routine disruption and what to do in both scenarios, whether preparing for a disruption in the routine or what to do to de-escalate if something happens with your kiddo on the spectrum. This week, we're going to talk about a word that we hear very often now, and I wanted to delve in and do some research, but I want to talk to you today about neurodiversity. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this topic today is I feel like this is becoming a big buzzword. And in my experience, I feel that I'm finding out that maybe I didn't know necessarily what it meant fully, and maybe others didn't either. So it's such an interesting word. But what does that word mean anyway? What does neurodiversity mean? Well, I'm going to read you the exact definition that I looked up, and this was one definition that I found. It says, the range of differences in individual brain function and behavioral traits regarded as part of normal variation in the human population, used especially in the context of maybe a person who has autism or autistic spectrum disorders. And I thought this was so interesting because that's such a general definition, right? Simply put, everything that I started to look up, it just means that it just explains the way that people's brains work. That's how I look at the word neurodiversity. Being neurodivergent means having a brain that works differently from the average or what we would consider neurotypical person. But I kind of chuckle at this because it makes me wonder sometimes, well, what is normal anyway? What does neurotypical mean anyway? So examples of neurodiversity are maybe people with autism, ADHD, ADD, excuse me, dyslexia, dyscalculia, and even dyspraxia. There are different types of neurodiversity too, which I didn't even discover until I started looking this up. But there's different types of neurodiversity as well, and I think it's important to understand those. The first type is called applied neurodiversity, and that means that conditions a person is born with that are not considered health conditions. So an example of this would be dyslexia. Clinical neurodiversity is also conditions that a person is born with. However, they're considered to be a health condition. Those types of conditions are autism or ADHD. Those are some great examples. And then there's one last category within neurodiversity called acquired neurodiversity. And that is basically conditions that help as part of a health condition, that developed as part of a health condition or injury. So an example of that would be PTSD, or maybe a traumatic brain injury. So there's different types of neurodiversity as well, and how they're acquired, so to speak. Some research estimates that approximately 15% of the population are neurodivergent. I actually think it might be more, but one research study that I pulled was 15% of the population. What's fascinating about this research article that I found, that it stated that of the 15%, that approximately 50% of that population are unaware that they are even neurodivergent. And why is this important? Why would I bring this up? The reason why I wanted to bring it up, because it means that those people are going without support or accommodations that they need, maybe at schools, in public places, and even in the workplace. So we're dealing with half of that 15% might not realize that they're neurodivergent. And so I feel that it's so important for educators and leaders to understand neurodiversity, because chances are you might have somebody if you're an educator that you're teaching, you might notice that the child might appear to be more neurodivergent, or maybe in the workplace, you notice that. And so I think it's really important for educators and leaders to take recognition of different types of neurodiversity. Neurotypical or not, creating more accessibility, inclusiveness really does benefit everyone. And I kind of, like I said, I chuckle because, you know, this whole word of normal and neurotypical, but really, I mean, I feel like to some degree we have our own definition, if you will, of neurodiversity, because we're all so different. What are the most common forms of neurodiversity? Well, I wonder if you guys can take a guess at what you think the most common form of neurodiversity is. And this one kind of surprised me. I never even thought about this. But actually, among adults, dyslexia is the most common type of neurodivergent condition in the United States. Approximately 10% of adults are diagnosed with dyslexia. Around 4-5% of the population has ADHD. And if we wanted to break it down even further, 1 to 2% of people have autism spectrum disorder. Together, those three syndromes that I just mentioned constitute around 70% of the neurodevelopmental disorder diagnoses. Neurodivergent conditions included ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, even personality disorders and bipolar disorder. Which again, that all classifies. So you can see where that's still a really broad definition of what neurodiversity is. But what's the bottom line with this definition as we kind of talk about this today? And basically, like I said, no two brains are the same. Whether you're considered to be neurotypical or neurodiverse, the way that you look at the world is unique to each person. And I think that that's important to remember. And I think it's also important to remember that we have to take other things into account too, not just the conditions itself, but also the environment. Maybe there's some other belief systems that are in play. We have to also work around belief systems and biases and what we've developed over the years. So I think that the differences we have today, really, they've always, in some ways, always have existed in the world. And we owe it to our society to continue building acceptance and to celebrate diversity. We also need to focus on this acceptance within education and our workforce. I know that there are many, many institutions and workplaces out there that are working to help create awareness and to help maybe explain neurodivergency on a different level. But I think that we need to even hit that even stronger than we already are. Take it upon yourself to understand the different types of neurodiversity. That's my biggest piece of advice or suggestion to you for today, not just for yourself, but for your family, your friends, and even your coworkers, because you never know that that might affect maybe some of why they behave, people behave the way that they do. It could have something to do with the neurodiversity. If anything, it'll create for a better environment for you, and it'll also allow you to embrace all of your strengths rather than differences if you can focus on that instead. So I know this was a quick episode for today, but I thought it was worth mentioning and hopefully gets your brain thinking a little bit more about neurodiversity and what that means, and maybe you have your own personal definition for that. But this concludes our episode for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have questions, comments, or even a show topic that you would like to share with me, please feel free to email me at info@piecesformypuzzle.com. Don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. If you like what you're hearing, please spread the word to others so we can make sure that we help more friends and family out there. And feel free to give us a good rating on your preferred podcast platform of choice. Thanks again for tuning in, and until next time, keep working on your puzzle, and remember, you don't have to have it all solved in a day. Take care.